Morning. Today's daf in Krisus, daf Gimel. Yesterday we covered the first Mishnah of Krisus from the first Perek, and we went through the 36 Krisus in the Torah. 36 times where there is a violation of Torah law, either negative or positive, in which failure, either a violation of the law or failure to observe a particular mitzvah results in the punishment of Karis. Yesterday we went into detail. I quoted the Ramban from Chumash in terms of how to understand Krisus to the best of our understanding. I'm sure we can understand it even better. And good. 34 and 2 is how it's broken. How the Mishnah is broken down. There are 34 lavin in the Torah in which one is subject to a Karis punishment. And two mitzvahs, I say, two positive commandments also subject to a Karis punishment. Famously, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. I didn't make mention of this yesterday, but it's famous. Famous because I know it. Famously, there's a machlokas between the two of them in terms of a person who doesn't have a bris milah. So he's subject to kares. At what point exactly is he subject to kares? So the Rambam says at the end of his life, right? The Rambam writes that when he gets to the end of his life and he failed to do a bris milah, so then he's going to receive the kares punishment. So the Ravid says, but... yeah, in other words, what just happened over there? He's got a... In other words... How do you get kares when your life has been terminated? Yeah, right. So it's a little bit difficult to understand. It could be that there's a fundamental disagreement between the Rambam and the Ravid in terms of how to understand kares in general. But, okay, that could very well be. Yeah, could be. But the Ravid says, no, the person who doesn't get a bris milah and he's now gets of age, he's 13 years of age, so he's chayv at kares at that point in time, and that chiv krisus continues for the rest of his life until either... He rectifies the situation or he dies, one or the other. But anyway, basic machlokas in terms of when karis occurs to the person who doesn't get a bris milah. By Karm Pesach,
when he's 13?
When he's a gadol.
Yeah.
Well, even by bris milah, something happened that he cannot have anymore.
It was also machlokas, no? He writes about that. And then the Karm Pesach is easier, because Karm Pesach, you understand that you have a... opportunity to bring Karm Pesach. It's coming up. Well, we don't have that opportunity, but it's coming up on the 14th day of Nisan. And if you don't bring on the 14th day of Nisan, there is a makeup date. Okay, so right, the discussion over there in terms of how you have to miss one, the first date and the second date, either way, but you're going to be chayv. That's easier to understand because there's a specific date in which you have to bring it, and if you fail to bring it at that point in time, you're chayv karis. That's easier to understand. Of the 34, so we were doing yesterday a lot of our bookkeeping, right? Yesterday said Daf Amud Beis was a lot of bookkeeping, meaning why does the Mishnah give us the number 36? The number. Meaning you count through the Mishnah, you make a list of the Mishnah, you'll see that there are 36. Why does the Mishnah give us the number 36? So the famous Rav Yochanan answer, which is that a person could be chai for each and every one of them. Right, Shem Asim Kulam Belamechad Chayev Akol Achas V'Achas. You'll be Chayev for every single one of them. I mentioned yesterday, right? The basics, which we're going to go over right now, which is that all this when we say Chayev Karis, that's only B'mezid. That's only if a person does so intentionally. If a person violates any of these B'shogeg inadvertently, unintentionally, so then it is subject to a Karban Chatas. A person has to bring a Karban Chatas, which we'll really speak about a lot over the course of today. This Karban Chatas requirement is only for the Lavim, not for the Mitzvah Saseh. Meaning for Pesach and Milah, you may be Chayv Karis for intentional violation, but if you inadvertently, hard to understand what that means, but if you inadvertently violate the Mitzvah of Pesach or Milah, or fail to do the Mitzvah of Pesach or Milah, so there's no Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas is only for the negative prohibitions. Okay. And just one other main point I want to go over, and that is that for a lot of these 36, or let's just talk about the negatives, for a lot of these 34, there's also corporal punishment as well. Meaning that for a good number of them, it's capital crime. Right? The first example that's given, Habala'im, someone has relations with his mother. That's a capital crime. And if there are witnesses, and there's a warning, and there's due process, and you go through the entire rigors of a Beis Din, so the person is subject to be put to death. Not just put to death, but through stoning. Skila. So a lot of these are capital crimes. So How do you understand the capital crime versus kare? So it's very simple. Meaning that if there is witnesses and a warning and due process, so then it turns into skila, turns into a capital crime, which would then obviate the kare's punishment. But if there is no warning and witnesses and there's no due process, but the intent is there, he willfully violated the Isra and the Torah, so then you're going to be chayv kare's. Okay. Good, that's all we went through yesterday. We're in the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the page. And let's get our bearings. All the arayos in the Torah, how do I know they are separate Yisurim? Meaning, you go through Parshas Acharimos, you go through Parshas Kedoshim, and you will find various arayos in the Torah. We know that they are separated. We know they're separated, first of all, we know that because the Psukim seem to separate them, but we know that because our Mishnah lists them as separate Yisurim in the Torah. Our Mishnah goes, Habala Ema, Eshes Av, Alakala, Habala Zachor, meaning they're all separated. So the question of the day that we ended off with yesterday was, how do we know they're separated? So the Gemara's answer yesterday, which we ended off with, is it's what's called a Hekesh. Right, Amar le Rabbi bar Minei, Hakanami, Vachomichodashi Eva, Vein Laheter, Bechai Elsa, Koshi Laheter, Bechai Elsa, Yatsa Isha, Amar of Yona. Right, Amar of Yona. Let's start again. We're about 6 lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara over here goes and discusses. Amar Rabbi Yona, Vitemer of Huna Bered, Rav Yoshua, Amar Kirki, Kol Asher, Yasemi, Kol HaToevos. So there's a hekesh. Everyone is compared to achoso. When one has relations with his sister, where there the Torah goes out of its way to say that it's a lav. It's a negative prohibition punishable by karis. So just like achoso, one is subject to a liability even if it's done in of itself, so too it's true by all the other arayas. Period. That's what we got up to yesterday, and this is really an awkward ending because the Gemara does not end over here. The Gemara continues in this discussion. Ula Rabbi Yitzchak Dar Mechai VeKrisus B'Chlal Hayu V'Lama Yatzak Karis B'Achoso L'Dan B'Karis V'Lava Malkos. So now there is an opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Remember the end of Malkos. Malkos has 3 prokim. The 3rd parak of Malkos talks about the relationship between Malkos and Karis, meaning a man has relations with his sister. Okay, there is. There are 2 things going on. Number one, the Torah says don't do it, which means that's a negative prohibition. And number two, the Torah says that if you do it intentionally, you're going to get kares. Okay. Are you going to get malchus? Meaning, if there are witnesses and there's a warning, are you going to get malchus? So that's a machlokus in the 3rd parak of malchus. The opinion which we accept is, yes, you're going to get malchus. Meaning, it's a negative prohibition in the Torah. Torah says don't do it. You did it, you got witnesses, you got a warning, you're going to get malchus. There is, however, the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak here is a Tana, and he says, no, once the Torah imposes kares, that means that there is no malchus. How does Rabbi Yitzchak know that? From our pasuk right over here. This pasuk teaches us that when there's kares, there's no malchus. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he now has utilized the pasuk of Habalachoso. So lechalik manale. So how does he know then to divide each one of these actions? Nafkalei mi ve'elisha b'dinda to maso lo sikrav. So he learns it out from the pasuk of Nida. Lechalik al kol isha v'isha. So in the pasuk of Nida, the Torah goes out of its way to say that if a man has relations with his wife who is a Nida, there is a kares punishment. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a great pasuk. In fact, it's such a great pasuk. Now we turn back to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yitzchak, but at least they could use that pasuk to teach us the concept of chiluk, that each one of the Azariahs is a separate Isser. And Achinami, the Gemara says, that's a very good point. Okay, so now if that's correct, so now what do the Chachamim do with the pasuk of Kares and Achoso? So mi vayle lechalek al Achoso v'al Achoso v'al Achoso imo. So the Gemara says, well, they needed to tell me that there's going to be a distinction between someone who has relations with his sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister. Right? In other words, if a man has relations with these three separate women, so then he's going to be chayef 3 separate Yisurim. So the Gemara says, I need a special drasha for that. Well, that's very strange. Those are 3 separate acts occurring with 3 separate women, represented by 3 separate psukim. So, I don't need a special limud to tell me that the person is going to be chayiv three times over, and if those three acts are done b'shogeg, he's going to be chayiv three karbanos over, meaning it's obvious. So the Gemara says, alayim alachalak alachos v'shiyachos aviv v'shiyachos imam. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we construct the following scenario? Why don't we construct a case where a man is his sister, and his father's sister, and his mother's sister? Now, this takes us well back into Yavamos. In order to create such a scenario, you need a lot of incest.
Say it again.
I'm not going to say it now. I'm not going to say it. But in other words, it involves a lot of incest. In order to get to this scenario where a woman can be his sister, his father's sister, and his mother's sister. Okay, without going through the details, the sordid details of how that happened, but in other words, if there could be such a woman, and there could be, although to get there you need a lot of Isurim, you need to violate a lot of Isurim to get there, but if you can construct such a case, so there you have now one woman who's everything. She is your sister, your father's sister, and your mother's sister. Yeah, enjoy. Right. So, there I might have thought that it's one woman, so maybe there's only going to be one Isser. So, the Gemara says, that's why I need the special drasha. For Rabbi Yitzchak HaMilsa Minale Nafkalei Min Sefer Dekra Dechsev Ervas HaChos HaGila. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak also agrees that that's going to be now three separate Yisurim, even though it's represented by one woman, but he learns it from a different pasuk, Ervas HaChos HaGila. V'Rabbanan. Okay, we're just going back and forth. Now, what do the Chachamim do with that very pasuk? Achos to the Sefer Dekra my Avid Lei. What do they do with that pasuk? Me Bailei Lachos Rishi Basavi Vavasimo. They need that pasuk to tell me that there's going to be a full liability if one has relations with his sister, who is his full sister, meaning daughter of his mother and daughter of his father. Right? What we would call a regular family. Your full sister. Now, why do I need a pasuk to talk about? A special drasha to talk about one's full sister as opposed to one's half sister? Because oddly enough, when the Torah talks about not having relations with your sister, the Torah says whether she's the sister from your father or whether she's the sister of your mother. Meaning, the Torah only talks about a half sister. Now, right? If the Torah tells us that a man's not allowed to have relations with his half sister, isn't it obvious that you're not allowed to have relations with your full sister? Meaning if the Torah says that, oh, you share a parent with her, you're not allowed to have relations with her. Well, if you share two parents with her, mom and dad, you're for sure not allowed to have relations with her. What is that called, what I just do? That's called a kal v'chomer. So can you punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer? The answer is no.
I don't know that that's a kal v'chomer, because
it's still at least a
half-sister is a sister too.
Right.
Because still has a parent that's a...
Right, you want to say that she's at least a half-sister.
Yeah.
Right. That's a fair argument. That's a fair argument. The Gemara does not accept that argument. I'm not going to reject, but the Gemara assumes that a half and a full are two different people. I was going to say two different animals, but... yeah.
One basic question, why can't he get the punishment based on the color of the
home? So that's the concept of Ein Onshin Min Adin. Now, all I did is just simply give you a phrase. I didn't answer your question. There is a... I just did this in the high school. There's a Marsha in Sanhedrin. It's very interesting. When we make a kavachomer is legitimate. Totally legitimate. In fact, it's one of the... Yud Gimel Midos is one of the 13 ways in which we darshan the Torah. So we don't delegitimize it. We don't just simply say, it's a valid way to learn halacha. The problem is that when you punish, you're basically now not only serving as the legislator, but you're also serving as basically, how do I say this?
As a legislator.
You're serving as a
legislator.
You're legislating a rule, which is fine. Legislation is fine. But then you're also giving a value to what degree is that prohibited. Meaning you're like serving as God's accountant. That you can't do. Meaning in terms of creating legislation, kal v'chomer can absolutely do that. But then based on your kal v'chomer, you're now saying, and this is punishable by, but you don't know to what degree it's prohibited. It could be that it's less prohibited. It could be that it's more prohibited. And punishment is only for exactly that crime, not for anything more or not for anything less. So kal v'chomer can only get me to the legislation and can't tell me what the punishment should be. That's basically, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically how the Marsha explains why Ein Onshin Min HaDin.
When do we say Malkus B'Malkum Isa?
That's not here. Not here. Malkus B'Malkum Isa is elsewhere, but not Arayos.
But Rabbi Yitzchak says Malkus B'Malkum Chorus.
Karis, or the other way around. Karis, but Malkus. Malkus. Okay, fine. So, Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm sorry. Lachos Hashi Bat Aviz, Vasimo, Lama Shein Onshin Min HaDin. Now, good. That is now an explanation of the Chachamim, and that's why we have the extra phrase of Ervas Achos Gilah. But now we turn back to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, Savra Onshin Min HaDin. So, the first suggestion of the Gemara, which is interesting, is that, well, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak fundamentally disagrees. And maybe he holds that you can punish even when you legislate it through Kal V'Chomer. So, right, which is such an interesting explanation of the Gemara, because generally it's almost like universally accepted, Ein Onshin Min HaDin. But the Gemara suggests maybe Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees fundamentally, Ibai Zema. You see how quickly the Gemara like backs away from that. Like, or if you want, we can make the following suggestion. Yalif Onish Me'azara. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can learn out Onish from Azara, meaning that there are two partios in the Torah, one talking about the punishment, with the other one talking about the warning, meaning the actual Isra itself, right? Achrei Mos is the Azhara. Kedoshim is the actual punishment, right? The entire list of Arayos is repeated. Ein Onshin Ela Im Kein Mazhirin. You need first the warning, followed then by the punishment. And it could very well be that Rabbi Yitzchak would just simply say, look, in the punishment dimensions, your full sister, so the same thing must be true vis-a-vis the warning as well. Okay.
Right. Now, fundamental. If you have the warning and the punishment, yeah. The warning first, if you don't know it's prohibited,
if you don't know prohibited, so that now falls under category shogeg, meaning... It could even be less than shogeg, but it's certainly not going to be. There's not going to be any kares or corporal punishment if you don't know that's prohibited.
The same thing with saying a fact. You don't know what your sister. You don't know what's relevant.
Correct. So then it's not. There's not going to be neither corporal nor kares punishment. That's just classic shogeg. Or it could be even less than shogeg.
And by Rabbi Yitzchak, someone can't voluntarily go and get
Malkus
and take away the chorus?
Interesting. No, it seems no, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Again, we don't postulate like Rabbi Yitzchak, but no. In other words, once the Torah imposes a punishment of chorus, there just simply is no Malkus, period.
One other question. There is shogeg and then there is mezid. What is in between? And somebody knows...
There's no exit on the highway between shogeg and mezid.
Right. Somebody knows it's Shabbat.
Right.
He's driving. And then he doesn't have a choice and he needs to continue. Right.
There's no...
not a choice. And he make it like...
I'm just saying...
He's not going through... You know,
I understand that there's a little more complexity, but... Yeah. In terms of how we categorize, we assume basically we go straight from shogeg to mezid. But
yeah, all right. Go all the way to mezid.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Amar Rav Elazar,
Amar Rav Oshia. Komakum shata motzei beis lavim v'karasecha chilek chatas beinehem. Okay. Really, a simpler answer to the entire discussion, meaning. The last 20 lines of Gemara, right, starting on the previous Amud and taking us right to this point in time, we're on Gimel Amud Aleph for 4 lines down for the top of the page. We're trying to basically come out to the conclusion that when the Torah lists all the Arayos, they're all separated. Each one is a separate Isser in the Torah, has its own Kares, has its own Karban Chatas of Dan B'Shogeg. That's basically what we try to result in. And how do we get to that? So we had Drashas. Either it was a Choso, or it was Nida, or it was a Hekesh, right? Basically, we used some sort of formula, some sort of the Midos HaTorah in order to get to that point in time. Rav Elazar and Rav Oshia says, it's really simpler than that. It's much simpler than that. When the Torah establishes a separate lav, which is what you find in Parshas Achrimos, and then the Torah then gives a global kares. Anyone who does any of these is going to be subject to kares. That kares goes on every single lav. It's that simple. In other words, and I don't need a special drasha to then teach me that each one's a separate one. Kol makom shata motzei beis lavim karesecha chilek chatas beinehem. Omayhi, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you where we see this as well. Mefateim besach. We see this regarding someone who puts together the Shemen HaMishcha and anoints with the Shemen HaMishcha. The Torah says anyone who either applies it or makes it, right, puts it together. So, Karis Echad Dechsev Asher Yikach Kamo Asher Yiten Kamo Azar V'Nichras Me'amav. Now, they are separate Lavin, but one Karis. V'Chi Me'achad Alav V'Muchlakim Karis Da'achosa. I'm sorry, period. And that's really how we know by Arayo, same story. Even though it's only one Karis, but it's separate Lavin, and each Lav represents its own individual Isser. And the Gemara continues, V'Chi Me'achad Alav V'Muchlakim Karis Da'achosa Kas Rachman Alam Alei. So why then does the Torah need the Achoso? Meaning, once we have this basic rule, so we didn't need all the drushas that we mentioned above. So why do I have, for example, Achoso? A special pasuk by Achoso to tell me that it's Chayiv Kares. I know that already. So according to Rav Yitzchak, the answer is because he doesn't subscribe to Onshim and Adin, according to Rav Yitzchak, because there's no Malkus, it's just kares. Sorry, that's correct. According to the Chachamim, exactly to teach us of ein onshim min adin. Okay, skip the next five lines of Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, afa nami tanina, and the Gemara says, and I'm going to support this as well. This fundamental rule that if there are multiple lavin, followed then by a global karis, the karis is going on each and every one. Tanina, because look at the following brisa. Mafatim is a shemem, mafatim is a kataris, v'hasach b'shemen ha-mishcha, that if a person is mafatim is a shemen, right, puts together the shemen ha-mishcha, a compound of the shemen ha-mishcha, and a mafatim is a kataris, and this is our Mishnah, meaning he's just reading our Mishnah, and if you put together the kataris, the incense, and if you anoint yourself with the Shemen HaMishcha, isn't that a little bit awkward? Meaning, look at how it's listed. First, compounding Shemen HaMishcha, then compounding Ketores, and then applying Shemen HaMishcha. Why did the Mishnah do that? Wouldn't it make more sense to put the compound Shemen HaMishcha and the application of Shemen HaMishcha side by side? Wouldn't that then make more sense? So, V'asach v'Shemen HaMishcha l'amali, d'tanya mefatim asa Ketores, b'mitziah. Why was Ketores put in the middle of Shemen HaMishcha? Lava kamash malam ma Ketores lav b'fnei atzmo v'chayv malav karis b'fnei atzmo af mefatim shemen v'sach nami kemed lav b'fnei atzmo chayav malav b'fnei atzmo. The reason why is because the Mishnah is actually showing us the same principle that making the Shemen HaMishcha and applying the Shemen HaMishcha are two separate lavin. Each one is going to be a separate karis prohibition. So now v'chitim the kabbalah mister pitumim b'hadei adade, and maybe, well, the Mishnah wanted to just put pitum together, right? The compounding of the Shemen HaMishcha and the compounding of the Ketores. But the Gemara says, okay, but if that's what the purpose of the Mishnah, so then nisnu ipu chamefatim as a Ketores chamefatim as a Shemen. But then the Mishnah could have just done it in such simpler fashion by first putting Ketores, then putting Shemen HaMishcha, and then talking about the application of the Shemen HaMishcha. The Mishnah could have done that. And again, the Mishnah is there to show us that they are separate lavin, separate carbon chatzes, they're separate. The compounding of the Shemen HaMishcha and the application of the Shemen HaMishcha, even though the Torah only says kares one time. But because they are separate lavin, so therefore they are separate kares prohibitions. Period. Okay. We are moving on to the Mishnah. So we are, in the Mishnah, going through 36 Isuri Kares, or Krisus, let's say, 34 of them Isurim, and we're now at Bala Zachar, which is number 4. Tana B'maika Chashiv. Now the Gemara wants to know, who's the Mishnah addressing, men or women? Well, if it's talking about homosexuality, the answer seems to be pretty obvious. Okay? So Tana B'maika Chashiv, Ibe B'gavri Dal Ha'isha Nirvath. The problem is that one of the cases in the Mishnah is a woman involved in bestiality. Now, as far as the animal is concerned, we're not really, our perspective is never from the animal. But in other words, obviously that involves a woman, and only a woman. Right? That case doesn't involve a man. So, then you're going to have to take that one out of the Mishnah. The problem is that brings us down now to 35. And ibn ashika chashav. Now, if the Mishnah here is talking about women, so dominun habal zachor ve'al habehema. But then you have to remove two cases in the Mishnah: the case of habal zachor and habal habehema, where that only involves men and not women. And that takes out two, and that takes us from 36 down to 34. Now it's interesting. Why does the Gemara now assume that the Mishnah is only addressing a man or only addressing a woman? Can't it just simply be that the Mishnah is addressing both men and women? That's the answer. Right? Because remember, the first point we made yesterday's daf, when we started with the Gemara, is that one person can violate all of them and be chayv in all of them. So, right, one person is either going to be either he's a man or she's a woman. And let's not start with him and her being both, meaning that's not going to be the option. So it's either man or woman. So the assumption that now the Gemara is making is that it's either going to be either a man or a woman. But either way, we're going to have to take some of them out of the Mishnah, which we don't want to do, because we want the number to maintain at 36. I'm Rav Yochanan, lo lamtanan gavrei kachashiv. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll say that our Mishnah is talking about men. So the Gemara says, in the case in the Mishnah will be, in other words, we're obviously going to have to take out the case of the woman involved in bestiality. That case will be removed from the Mishnah. But then we need another case in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, we'll talk about homosexuality, and we'll talk about where both he is the active participant, and also he's a passive participant as well. Now, Rabbi Yishmael Yadamar Chayef Shtayim. Now, this only accords with Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael says that there are two separate prohibitions in the Torah, Chayev on each and every prohibition. V'hamid Dektani Megadif. Now, the Gemara over here is going to be very technical in its bookkeeping. This is purely a bookkeeping part of the Gemara today, where our Mishnah only works if you subscribe to Rabbi Yishmael. Now, I'll explain the Rabbi Yishmael position a little bit better in just a moment. But the problem is that the conclusion of the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yishmael; it's going like Rabbi Akiva. V'hamid Dektani Megadif B'seifa Mokmin like Rabbi Akiva. Now, Gidof, blasphemy. What is blasphemy? It's talking. That's all it is. And meanwhile, it's listed in our Mishnah. Now, whose position is talking is blasphemy is not only a violation, it's a punishable violation. That's the Rabbi Akiva position. So now you have in our end of our Mishnah being represented by Rabbi Akiva, in the beginning of the Mishnah being represented by Rabbi Yishmael. So B'tzev Mokmin like Rabbi Akiva, Reisha Nami Rabbi Akiva, V'chi Tema, Rabbi Akiva he over Reisha Sava like Rabbi Yishmael. Now maybe you'll say like this, well, okay, the end is going like Rabbi Akiva, but vis-a-vis the act of Mishkav Zachor, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara makes that suggestion. The Gemara immediately rejects that suggestion. So the Gemara says, "Avresh yourself like Rabbi Yishmael." V'am Rabbi Abahu Abala Zachor Ve'evi Zachor Alav. So this is the Gemara here is quoting the Gemara in I think it's Sanhedrin. Yeah. Okay. Abala Zachor Ve'evi Zachor Alav. That if a man has involved in homosexuality, both as an active participant and a passive participant, so according to Rabbi Yishmael, that's going to be two Isurim in the Torah. How is that two Isurim in the Torah? Demafik le mitar tikra, because Rabbi Yishmael learns that from two separate psukim. And the Gemara goes on to list, may the Ezachar lo tishkav, the pasuk in Achremos that says that you don't sleep with another man, that's now the prohibition against being actively participating in Mishkav Zachor, and v'lo yeh kadesh. And then the Torah's prohibition of lo yeh kadesh, that's Parshas Ki Seitzei, where the Torah says, don't be a kadesh. Now, a kadesha is a reference to a woman who is a, all right, you want to say she's a zona, she's a prostitute, but kadesh, what does that mean? It means that man's passive participation of Mishkav Zachor. So lo yeh kadesh mimnei Yisrael, chayv shtayim. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's actually two separate psukim. Now, Rabbi Akiva agrees that both are prohibited, disagrees in terms of what the source of that is. You'll forgive my pronunciation. But the point is that it's a krieg siv. The Torah says tishkav, which is active, and it could also be read tishachev, which is passive. So from that krieg siv, so therefore we know that there's both a prohibition of active and passive participation. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's still only one pasuk. It's still only one pasuk. So it's only if a person does both, he'll be chayav only one time, not two times. So now the problem is, who is our Mishnah following like? Meaning, let's put it all together. Our Mishnah is only talking about a man, not a woman. So therefore, we had to take out the case of a woman involved in bestiality. That brings us down to 35. We need to go back up to 36. So we suggested, well, let's add the case of Mishkav Zachor, both active and passive Mishkav Zachor. That'll get us back to 36. The problem with that is that only represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. But when you go to the end of our Mishnah, our end of our Mishnah follows like Rabbi Akiva. I know I said that fast, but that's where we're at right now in the Gemara. So Megadiv Savala, so the Gemara says, El Resha Rabbi Shmuel, Uvim Megadiv Savala like Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Our Mishnah fundamentally is Rabbi Shmuel, and on the issue of Gid of blasphemy, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. Ihachi Nisninami Haba Al Ha Behema Behevi Behema Alav. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we're here, if we're at this juncture, so then there should be another case in the Mishnah, which is to be an active and passive participation of bestiality. So Hamar Abaya Abala Behema Behevi Behema Alav Afla Rabbi Shmuel Einu Chayv Ala Achas Dechik Siv Kra Begarvik Siv. So the Gemara says no, because even Rabbi Yishmael, who in the case of homosexuality says that there are two Isurim represented by two Psukim, that's only by male on male, but male on animal or animal on male, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that that's only one Isur, not two separate Isurim.
What do they do about the fact that it says that the Isha may be a Behema Aleha in the Mishnah?
Cut it out.
They cut it out. So they're saying the Mishnah is not exactly right?
Well, yeah. Cut it out. That does not belong in the Mishnah.
Replace it.
Okay. Rebbe Elazar Mishmei de Rav Amar Tana Tani Shloshim V'Shalosh Chatos V'Tani Shalosh Krisos L'Siyaminu B'Krisos. So Rebbe Elazar in the name of Rav says, well, instead of doing all this cutting and pasting, which obviously you object to, understandably, so the Gemara says, look, why aren't we just happy with the number 33, right? Meaning without modifying Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, well, let's just leave it at 33. And then the Mishnah mentions three other krisos to get us to the number 36. Diktani Seifa, Pesach Omil, the Mitzvah Saseh, Pesach Omil, Amai Ketani Lohu. So the Gemara says, look, Pesach and Mila. Is there going to be carbon chatzis over there? No. The Item, Alisui, carbon alayami, Maise. The Gemara says, we don't bring a carbon for the failure of observing positive commandments. How do you not do avodah zara? Abstention by not doing anything. So therefore, the eligibility of a carbon is only in the case of sheva'al tasa, where there was what you should have done was abstain. That's what you should have done. And when it comes to Karban Pesach and Bris Milah, it's just the opposite. The Torah doesn't want you to abstain. The Torah wants you to do. It's a positive commandment. So already you know that Pesach and Milah are not included in the possibility, the range of possibility of bring in carbon chatos. There is no carbon chatos for Pesach Hamila. So basically, you're down to 34. So if we're down to 34, so okay, take one more away. So we're down to 33. Fine. And then we're just going to add all the others to get us to 36. Hamachal Shabbos. Okay, we move on. Okay, we are now beyond all the Suri Arayos. That was 1 through 15. Gidif was number 16. Ovid Avodah Zarah. And we're up to Chil Shabbos, which is number 20. That's strange. I only say that because later on we're going to go back up to Avodah Zarah. It's like the Gemara skipped Avodah Zarah. Okay, whatever. We'll come back. Hamachal Sa Shabbos. Amre Shabbos Memchas Achas. Havyan. So the Gemara asks the following question. Shabbos is not one Chatos. Shabbos is 39 Chatos. So it's a little trickery in our Mishnah that our Mishnah counts it as one. How can you count it as one? It's 39 separate chataos. To which the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yochanan. Tana Shigah Shabbos v'zada malachas. D'lama chayev alachad. D'tanya heina shiachas Shigah Shabbos v'zada malachas. V'zada malachas." Period. Okay. So to which the Gemara's answer is, well, he wakes up in the morning. He knows all about Shabbos, right? He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's fluent in all the malachas and Shabbos. He woke up in the morning, he thought today was Sunday. He lost count of which day it is. And so he goes up and he makes breakfast and he cooks and he sorts and he does all the various malachas and Shabbos. How many karbanos does he need to bring? One. This is what's called Zadon Malachos. He knows exactly the malachos, but Shigiga Shabbos. He forgot today was Shabbos. So that is only brought, you only bring one karban chatas. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. V'nisni Zadon Shabbos v'shigas malachos, demechayev mem chasar achas. So the Gemara says, okay, but it only begs the next question. Well, why didn't the Mishnah go to the other scenario of Shigigas Shabbos, sorry, Shigigas Malachos v'zadon Shabbos? That you knew it was Shabbos, you just didn't know about all the Malachos. Titanya v'asame achas me'en apamim shechayv achas akolam apamim shechayv akol achas v'achas. V'tanya achas shihena zadon Shabbos Shigigas Malachos. So why doesn't our Mishnah go through that case? So the Gemara says, "Tana Shigar Shabbos Zadam Malachos Adifalei Demechatas Mi Alom Mifter." Well, it's a better case, meaning the case that our Mishnah chose, where he woke up knowing all the malachos, but he forgot today was Shabbos. He thought today was Sunday, because at least there it's one carbon chatas, meaning it's a nice, easy scenario. V'chenat Amotei Gaba Avodas Kochavet Itani. And look, in Avodah Zarah, we have the same basic idea, where in Avodah Zarah it could be Shigigas Avodah Zarah V'zadon Avodos. Right? Let's see this inside. Shigas Avodos Kochavim V'zadon Avodos Shigas Avodos Kochavim Hechidami Ilema. Now the Gemara says, now what exactly is the case? Shigigas Avodah Zarah. Right? I was a shogeg, I was inadvertent about Avodah Zarah. Right? Could you describe what that would be? Ilema Da'ama Beves Avodos Kochavim V'samra Beves Knessesi. Right? You go into a house of idolatry and you say to yourself, oh, this is a shul. You see, Avodah Zarah is interesting. It's an interesting aver in the Torah. It really all is a state of mind. Meaning, if you walk into a house of idolatry, but you yourself think it's a shul, okay, your head's in the cloud. Okay, you're not in touch with everything going on around you. Okay, good. So that's not Avodah Zarah. That's not even a shogeg of Avodah Zarah. V'ishtachavei harei libo l'shamayim. If you think that this is a shul and you think you're bowing down to Hashem, so, regardless of the fact that you're actually in a house of idolatry, bottom line is, you're not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Not even on a shogeg level. So the Gemara says, okay, so you see a statue. Andarta is usually a statue made up of a king. And you bow down to it. So, now if you accept it as a god, so then, in other words, if you're deifying the statue, that's called Avodah Zarah. And if you're not deifying it, and you're giving it no deity power, so then that's nothing. So Allah, so the Gemara says, okay, so what's the case of Shogeg? Ava Umiyira. So the Gemara says, the case of Shogeg is Ava and Yira. Now what does that mean? So Rashi explains like this. Ava and Yira is like this. Look, I'm not really a big believer in this idol. Truth of the matter is, between you and me, I know it's a piece of metal. I know it's nothing. But I have a very good friend of mine, a close friend of mine. He really goes for this stuff. He really believes in this stuff. So, you know, and I love the guy. And you know what? Just from out of my love for this guy, I'm going to bow down to this idol over here. That's what's called Ava. Yira would be, I'm afraid of that guy. Okay. Which I know takes us into the world of Yarik Val Yavor. Okay, I'd like to avoid that for now, just to make this discussion a little bit easier and a little bit simpler. Okay, so let's just deal with this scenario. So, am I in violation of Avodah Zarah, where I'm bowing down, not because I really believe in its deified power, but simply because out of my love for somebody else, another human being? So, Hanich L'Abai Damer Chayiv. Now, Abai says that you're Chayiv, meaning Abai is of the opinion that that is Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg. How to understand that?
In Shogeg.
That's Avodah Zarah. That's called Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, because I'm not really being over at Avodah Zarah. I know what I'm doing. I'm just, but I'm bowing down to it, not because I really believe it, but because of my love for that individual.
But how is that Shogeg if you know that Shogeg?
Okay, I understand. It's a Abaye's position is difficult to understand.
You think it's just like a tea custom in Japan?
I
he's still chayav for carrots in that, right?
Well, you're, according to Abaye, you're going to be chayv. No, you're not. It's not kareis. It's going to be.
I'm saying a chatas. I mean,
you're going to. It's shogeg. You're going to be chayv a carbon chatas. Okay, fine. That is Abaye's position. Do I fully understand it? No. But that's Abaye's position. Ella Rava, Damar Pata, Michael Member. But Rava says that's not even shogeg.
Right.
So now, again, question on the table. Very simple question. What's the case of our Mishnah? Where a person's being over to Avodah Zarah, and the case is where he's Zadon Ba'avodah, he knows exactly how to worship it, but is the shogig on the Avodah Zarah? What's the case? And according to Rav, and according to Abaye, so we have a case. Ava Yira. I'm bowing down because not because I believe in this, because of my love for that individual, or Abaye is of the opinion, that's shogig Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Ela Ba'omer Mutter. The case is, I'm bowing down, knowing this is a Avodah Zarah, thinking that this is a Avodah Zarah, not realizing the Torah prohibits this. Okay. Talk about not getting a good education. A good Jewish education. Omer Mutter, he thought that it was Mutter. Now, I will point out to you, the difficulty of this Gemara right now, in light of what we learned yesterday. You don't have to remember that much. Just yesterday. And I pointed out this Rashi yesterday, when we learned yesterday's Daf. Where yet Rashi writes in yesterday's Daf, it is on Beis Amud Aleph. It is the second column of Rashi. And it's about 5 lines from the bottom of the page where Rashi writes, I'm reading, Aval Omer Mutter Legamri Deoker Kol Aguf Lav Shogegu Ela Anasu Upater. So Rashi writes on the bottom that when you say Omer Mutter, that's not even Shogeg. Remember yesterday I was just trying to describe what Shogeg is. Shogeg, you're in touch with the Isser, but you fail to remember a particular detail of that Isser. Here, the Gemara is saying, very clearly, Omer Mutter, when the person says something is Mutter, that falls under the category of Shogeg. So did Rashi, how do you reconcile Rashi and our Gemara over here? I'm not sure. That's going to be difficult. But I'm acknowledging that that's going to be an issue. Ela Omer Mutter, so the Gemara says that the case of Shogeg by Avodah Zarah is where he thought it was okay. Period. So, in other words, when a person doesn't know about Avodah Zarah and doesn't know how to worship Avodah Zarah, the question is going to be chayav one carbon chatas or two carbon chatasas. But there is an agreement from everybody where he bows down to Avodah Zarah, knowing it's Avodah Zarah, actually bowing down because he's worshiping his idolatry. He just didn't know it was Aser. It's a no-brainer. He's going to be chai of a carbon chatas. That's the case of Avodah Zarah vis-a-vis being obligated one. Being obligated a carbon chatas. Rav Papa Amar Mishkach Halah B'tinok Shenishba Lebein Ovdei Kochavim D'yada Da'asir Avodas Kochavim V'hani Avodas Kochavim L'yada Da'asirin. Rav Papa gives another suggestion, and that's the following. The person grew up being raised as a captive in a non-Jewish family, meaning he got zero Jewish education. This is classically, we call Tinuk Shenishba. Okay? And this person now finally learns about his Judaism and was informed that Avodah Zarah that in the family that he grew up with is Aser. Okay? So he said, fine. No problem at all. And then what he does is he bows down to another Avodah Zarah. And he says to himself, look, I know, I was taught that the Avodah Zarah that I was raised with is Aser. But this is a different Avodah Zarah. This one's okay. So the Gemara says, that would be another example of a shogeg. Or the Gemara says, if you would like, I'll give you another easy answer. And that is the following. He thought that, he reads a pasuk in Chumash, and the Torah says, don't bow down to the gold statue and to the silver statue. So he'll say, okay, I get it. The Torah doesn't want me to bow down to gold and silver. This is copper. This is different. This is totally different. The Torah is okay with me bowing down. You see, now we're in a better shogeg position. He knows there's an Isser in Avodah Zarah, but he thought this particular Avodah Zarah is okay because it's not gold, it's not silver, and the Torah only makes mention of gold and silver. Good. Rav Acha Bere de Rav Ika Mishmei de Rabibi Amar Tana Shem Shabbos V'Shem Avodas Kochavim Ketani. Okay. The Gemara now offers, and we're going to just get through this a little bit and we'll stop. Gemara offers a much easier answer. Meaning, what was the Gemara's question? What have we been doing for the past 15 minutes? Trying to figure out why by Shabbos are we not mentioning 39 various chataos? Because Shabbos can result in 39. Avodah Zarah can result in 4. There is shechting and Kabbal Sadah, meaning all the avodas for the Beis Hamikdash is also an avoda for Avodah Zarah. So how come our Mishnah only mentions Shabbos as one? So the technical answer that the Gemara has been offering now for the past 15 minutes/20 lines of Gemara has been, well, the case of Shabbos is where it's a Shigaga Shabbos v'zadar malachas. He woke up thinking today was Sunday. It's a very technical answer. The Gemara says, you don't have to give such a technical answer. Meaning, our Mishnah Krisus is just giving us Rashi Prakim. It's just headings. Meaning, I know Shabbos has various chataos in there, but we're just talking about headings. Our Mishnah is interested in just the headers. Rav Acha Bere de Rav Ika Mishmei de Rabibi Amar Tana Shem Shabbos V'Shem Avodas Kochavim Ketani. Simple. Meaning, we're just looking categorically at Shabbos. Mimai midiktani abalei shabita valei shesa ish vayesh bito me'anus aso delo ketani la. Look, our Mishnah didn't mention bito me'anus aso, right? A daughter who is a daughter out of a marriage, but outside of marriage. She's also prohibited to you. Now, how do we know that the Torah doesn't mention that? We learn it through a drasha. Ami diksivan ketani delo ksivan lo ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe our Mishnah didn't mention that because that's not a pasuk in Chumash. And maybe our Mishnah is only interested in pasukim in Chumash. That's a drasha. That's different. Va'ika bas ishto ubas bito ubas bena diksiva v'lo ketani. Elashem isha ubita ketani hachana mishem shabbos v'shem avodas kochav ketani. And the Gemara says, look, it's very simple. All right, our Mishnah doesn't mention a daughter and a granddaughter, even though that's a pasuk in Chumash. How come it's not mentioned in our Mishnah? It is. It's under the heading of daughter. Once the Torah says once our Mishnah says daughter, you understand. Daughter, granddaughter. Meaning that's all included in the Mishnah under the heading of daughter. So when same thing by Shabbos. When we say Shabbos, we mean that's just a header. And all the various subcategories of Shabbos. When it says Avodah Zarah, that's just a header. And all the various subcategories of Avodah Zarah as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, so again, a lot of accounting today in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. We want to try to ascertain whether our Mishnah is talking about a man or a woman. The Gemara says, not necessary, meaning our Mishnah could just simply be going through a number that could apply to a man and then just fills up the rest. And then we spent a lot of time trying to understand how Shabbos is not subdivided to 39. Technical answer, or a more general answer that our Mishnah is just giving us headers.